In the face of a successful alternative, if you are failing as a tight group, you double down on failure, which is what's happening in government at the moment.
Right. Okay.
And that is our challenge.
Yes, Tim. No, exactly. Mark, hi, good morning.
Good morning. You know, I'm going to start off with talking about Groot Trek 2.
Okay.
So last night, I don't know if the plane took off or whatever, but you had all lined up with, you know, I was wondering how many suitcases they were going to be allowed, but they were allowed a lot.
The answer to that is six.
Okay.
They allowed six suitcases. We've established all of these facts already.
I mean, all right. So, I mean, it's a sad thing that's come to pass.
No, really, do you think?
Because of all of the things that brought it into being, that made it even a thought process for, you know, President Trump and a thought process for people who've been farming wherever they farmed, whether it's theirs or not, and all that kind of stuff. The real issue is, you know, skill sets are leaving South Africa who would, under what I might describe as normal, livable circumstances, not do so.
Right.
And I, for one, I'm not going anywhere, Tim. You know, I don't want to run away. I don't want to be forced out. I don't want to export myself. And I hope to stay here, if possible, be part of a solution, you know.
Right.
But it's going to take all sides and all denominations, if I can call them those, to come together and go, okay, enough. Enough of this me, you, who won, who lost, who, and do we want to create a future? Because I'm sorry, my friend, I look around, you know, closer and closer and find more and more to worry about. So it's a sad, you know, I'm not saying it's particularly sad that some Burkies left or that Trump wants them. I'm saying that we are having these kinds of migrations and thoughts and divisions perpetuated 31 years into democracy. Anyway, that's my morning rant. We should have a section here for a morning rant. Tim, have you got one?
Well, I've also been sort of, you know, tearing myself to pieces about this, because in some senses, this is, it's a complete travesty what's happening. Because what Trump has done, America usually takes around about 100,000 refugees from all around the world. Trump has scrapped that whole scheme, but there's one exception, and that is for kind of white South Africans, right?
Terrible.
And it's kind of shocking and horrible that we're part of it.
It is shocking. Opportunist. And,
yeah. And all of those sorts of things. You know, one sympathizes for the people who feel as though they have to give up their country and go out. I understand. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that most of the people who have gone have had some kind of traumatic experience, right? From a crime perspective or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible thing to feel as though you were discriminated against. You know what I mean? Here's the facts. The facts are that, you know, there's 4% unemployment amongst white South Africans. You know, the average wealth of a white South African is still around about nine times the average wealth of a black South African. From the outside, you have to say, these are the most mollycoddled refugees in the history of refugeedom. Somebody said on one of the social feeds this morning, you know, six suitcases, that's a completely normal amount of luggage for a refugee. Not, you know.
I mean, maybe I said it clumsily. It's not the event.
Yes.
But the fact that the event is evidence of these things that you also, you know, added to what I was arguing about.
Yeah.
It's the fact that this is even in our landscape, on the table, up for discussion in headline news. That is an indictment on all of us, you know, in one way or another.
We had
a full generation to prepare some of the sins of the past, if you want.
I have two questions about this. The one is, how do you think they'll do? Do you think they'll integrate?
No.
That's one thing.
No.
And the second thing is, are they claims, you know, is South Africa ready for the claims that they're about to make about us? You know, is South Africa ready for that?
Mm.
And my answer to the second question is we're not ready. And the reason we're not ready is because we have lived in a country in which reverse racism is not racism. You know, that is the root position, you know, and for all kinds of historical reasons, South Africans are completely, you know, not comfortable, but all parties here more or less accept the idea that reverse racism is not racism. The problem is the rest of the world doesn't think that way. The rest of the world thinks that racism is racism, you know, and there's a big gap here between the two.
You could not have a more precise definition than to say racism is racism. Okay. I mean, it doesn't get more accurate than that. And And yeah, there's guilt and reciprocal guilt and accusations and reciprocal. We have this glorious challenge, if I can couch it in those terms.
There is.
And that's why I want to be here. We have this amazing, unique challenge to demonstrate to the world that we can move on. You know, I saw again, you know, I always have to revert to sport. Our 4x100 and 4x400 athletics team won gold this weekend, which is just amazing. Beating USA, which has got millions and millions more talent than we are, beating Canada and so on. And so when you come together as a team, we win, okay? And for me, the glorious challenge that is presented to us, we fail if we can't grasp it and make of it, given all of our natural rules, all of those kinds of things. So that's what we stand accused, all of us. If I was sitting above this all, marking the exam of the Rainbow Nation, everyone would fail. Not just the government, not just the business people, not just, everyone would. We have failed each other. And I would still like to be a part of not doing that. Yeah. Sorry.
You know, before the program, I was going to say I was going to knock your socks off, or I said that I was going to knock your socks off.
Please do.
And you said you weren't wearing socks.
Hasn't happened to me for ages.
But now you've completely stolen my thunder, because I was going to shock you with telling you in detail about the 4x4 athletics that happened over the last couple of days. And it is just, to me, it is just the most heartwarming thing. I mean, it's so fantastic to have some evidence of success in teamwork at the same time as this hullabaloo is going down in America.
Yeah, fucking groot trek.
Yeah. And can I just tell you what happened in Guangzhou?
Please tell me.
And what's remarkable about it. Yeah. So what happened is that we won with the top of the medals table, and that the teams are, you know, are completely kind of representative. But here's the thing that you may not know. There's two things that you may not know that I have discovered through my research into this topic.
Right.
The first is that Achilles Ambani and Tyler went to the same school.
Wow.
Yeah, that is incredible.
That's so cool. That's so cool, man. You know, I watched particularly the ladies, you know, in their race. And you look at the team photograph and you start counting and you get a demographic photograph of South Africa. It's fucking beautiful for words, man. Come on, man. Let's stop this shit with each other and fix it.
Okay.
It drives me nuts.
And then here's my other little factoid that you may or may not know. Our athletics has been transformed by this kid who is, you know, barely out of his teens, whose name is Banyanda Wazala. And he has been, you know, just a complete...
Wunderkind. German.
Wunderchild.
Child.
Okay, but here's the interesting thing. Mm. Which high school do you think he went to?
No, you got me, Tim.
Okay. Yeah. Would you be surprised if he went to Hoërskool Vorentoe?
Not at all.
Okay. Why not?
Because if there's one thing that this Boerder can do is produce a few athletes and sports people. I mean, listen, I went to University of Cape Town. We used to go and play rugby against Stellenbosch. It was a massacre. Okay.
Right.
Although this year, for the first time that I'm recently aware of, Ikeys beat Stellenbosch. Right. We used to lose the rugby with alacrity and then chat up their woman in the pub afterwards. Okay. That's the only, you know, recourse that we had. Okay. But no, and if you look at now at the schoolboy rugby in Paarl now, Paarl boys, I won it. Yeah, no, the when it comes to physical sport, I would, if my child was talented in any way, I'd also send them to Paarl Hoërskool or Voortrekker Voor 8 or what ook al. Yeah, because there's discipline and purpose.
Right.
You know.
No, it's just quite interesting how many, because I went through the team, or I haven't gone through them all, but I went through the teams to try and find out how many went to public schools and how many went to private schools.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's quite refreshing, because most of them did go to public schools, but they also went to Model C schools, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And schools which are now Curro schools.
Yeah.
And I just have to give a little shout out to Eden College for producing two of South Africa's biggest stars. I mean, what? This is from Edenvale. Yeah. Edenvale. That's extraordinary.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but if you start analyzing that a little bit deeper, it is the manifestation of some public-private partnership. Okay.
Yes.
It is. At school level, And those who can afford it all send their kids to the, you know, upper echelon schools. And, you know, my sons happen to go to a private school. And I can tell you now that this is one of the top private schools in Johannesburg. And the demographic profile of that school is heading towards a representation of the demographic profile of South Africa. The issue is that if you can afford excellence, you'll pay for it. Okay.
Right.
The challenge for us beyond schools and sport is to create partnerships which manifest excellence more broadly and make it generally acceptable. That's the challenge. It is not to create division and to separate and divide and to legislate and to enforce and to create these post-event equalities rather than these pre-event opportunities. And if we got our mindset around that, we would go like, who's the best to do this? This. Okay, send everyone there and make more of those. Not mess with their formula. Grow it. Incentivize it. Create more. I don't know what maturity will be required. And I'll tell you what I think it is.
Okay.
Is if you have leaders who are doubling down on failure, which is what's happening in government at the moment.
Right.
Okay. Then why would they endorse success?
Yes.
It is not their home turf.
Yes.
That's the core of the problem. Is in the face of a successful alternative, if you are failing as a tight group, you double down on failure.
Yes.
And that is our challenge.
Yes,
Tim.
No, exactly.
God, we are full of the joys of spring. Well, it's winter, we shouldn't be.
Just to, you know, to encourage us and enthrall us more.
Get us going. Yeah.
Last week, we spoke a little bit about the South African Navy, and a reader emailed us and gave us the actual stats because we were a little bit sort of dodge on them, if we are being honest. This is what they said, right? So unconfirmed, but from a reliable source, right? The South African Navy has 17 admirals. That's all admiral ranks, from rear admiral to admiral, just the 17.
Sorry, Tim, how many ships do they each preside over?
We've got the one ship. We have the one ship.
Oh, we've got just the one. Okay. So who's turn is it this week? Okay, because you carry on. Sorry, man. We've got one ship, okay, and 17 admirals.
Yeah, 17 admirals. Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, so we've got 6-4 admiral slots, and there are only 4 on active duty in the field, and 2 are reserved for naval operations and vice chief of naval operations. Yeah. This is according to it. Okay, so then what's the situation with the army? How many generals does South Africa have? The situation is...
I'm going to hazard a guess.
Okay, go.
I'm going to hazard a guess. No. 8.
No, 406.
8. What? Say that again slowly, Tim. What?
406. We have 406 generals, or equivalent, apparently. No. So there's 15 generals who are at the highest level. That's the chief of the Defense Force, who holds the rank of general. And the rest are lieutenant generals. But basically, we have 406. So anyway, it doesn't... You know, that's a kind of... It's a peculiar corruption, isn't it? I mean, it's a strange kind of corruption.
It's got to do with pay scales.
Yes.
Not exactly. Performance.
Precisely.
Not competence, not necessity. It's got to do with pay scales. Yeah. And so, you know, if you need to get to a higher level, don't perform to get there. Get promoted to get there. And you know what the terrible tragedy is of gifted, undeserved promotion?
What?
Is that it doesn't satisfy you.
Oh, really? Interesting. Okay. I mean, I think I would be satisfied. I mean, you could make me a general. I wouldn't.
I hereby on public notice declare you to be general of the Karoo, but only the Southern Karoo, because I've got to make space for 4 other generals when I get there. No, but here's the tragedy of ill-gotten gains.
Right.
The tragedy of ill-gotten gains, and I've seen this manifest at all levels in society, is that you get left feeling completely empty. You've got nothing. And when you've got nothing and you're given something you don't deserve, you need more and more and more. And therein lies the perpetuation of corruption, because you just need more.
Yes.
And the more you get, the more you show it off. And the more you show it off and find yourself amongst the other show-offs, the less it rewards you. And it's the most terrible disease, the wannabe disease. Particularly if some idiot at the top satisfies it by giving you a token.
Yes.
It's where we are, Tim. It's not cool. Eh?
No, it isn't.
To use a more modern phraseology. Yeah.
And talking about the army and so on, just let's bring it back home. What do you make of the idea of a bomb squad? You know, like in the rugby, that the Johannesburg mayor is, apparently it's his idea that he thought of himself.
To quote a long ago Monty Python's skit, it isn't.
Yes.
Okay.
So who suggested that?
I don't know if I was the first, but I wrote about it. I looked through the article. I wrote in the Business Day in a column in August 2024. Right. I described the notion of a bomb squad under a column entitled Split Politics from Action Plan to Fix Joburg. And I subsequently have communicated in various different forms, I think. So it's not his idea, okay? But I don't care. If it works, it still works. But you know, his other idea, which I'm astonished about, is he's going to move the MMCs around. He's going to rotate them. Now, I don't know if that means that, as is the case in Parliament, that today you can be looking over waste and sanitation. Tomorrow you're in charge of education. The next day you're in charge of city development. Because there's another strategy that hasn't worked. I mean, take the classic example. I'm sorry, but Angie Motshekga off to Russia for the celebration of Putin's V-Day or whatever it was called. It's just, are you kidding me, man? And she didn't attend a national executive, whatever it was, meeting. And there she is swanning amongst the leaders of the defense capabilities of the world. I wonder how she's doing at the cocktail parties. Eh? So what do you think of the F-37-4 that Pakistan has just deployed to blah, blah, and the latest in the atomic, you know, electronic devices that we can now... And she goes, what? Okay.
But don't we have to? Don't we have to send somebody to this stuff? I mean, isn't that just part of being, you know, diplomatic?
No, I'm not arguing that we shouldn't send someone.
Right.
I'm arguing that we shouldn't rotate ministers regardless of their background and capacity.
Yes. Okay. Okay, right.
That's what
I'm
arguing.
Okay. Yeah. So
it's not her fault that she's going there.
Right.
It's someone else's fault who made her the Minister of Defence.
Yes.
And I can't imagine who that might be. But I want Olivia, Tim. I want it. No, I'm here to stay, Tim. No names, no pectoral since we're in the army. I don't know if you know the origin of that statement. Yeah.
No names, no pectorals. Give it to me. Yeah. I don't.
Well, there used to be, when you do something wrong in the army, or certainly when I was there, you went on a pay. You had to dress up in full kit, which was all your pack, you know, all of your stuff on your back with your gun and all those kinds of things and your sleeping stuff and boots and extras, and run around the parade ground like some complete idiot, painfully extracting sweat from you for the error of your ways. And so everyone then started, and they say, who did this?
Yes.
And then people would all shut up because they didn't want their mates to suffer pectoral. Okay, so no names, no pectoral. Okay, that was how it went. And that seems to me how it's, you best preserve that if you want to stay here, which I do. But I've got to tell you, now, this is a funny, which is not work, but I'm sorry, it's too funny not to mention.
Okay.
I was, you know, as one does, I was sort of scanning through tweets and things, and I came across this picture of someone, and the picture was entitled Miss Pothole 2025. Okay. And there was this lady lying in a pothole in a bikini, looking ever so elegant. And if that's not a sign of our times, I don't know, Tim. Hey, Miss Pothole 2025. I just think it's funny.
All right.
Tim, before we go, budget 3.0, I heard, has been approved. Have you seen the content of such a thing?
I have not. But that is very thrilling. I'm delighted that we have a budget. I think it must be pretty tight now, right? I mean,
I think it's the 31st or something.
Yeah.
It has to be, or otherwise, I don't know. Yeah.
Otherwise, we're in deep trouble. Anyway, so if this doesn't work, then we are really in deep trouble.
Yeah, well, we are in deep trouble.
Anyway, I look forward to it. On the 21st, right? Budget 3.0. That's when it's presented. But
all good.
Anyway, onwards, more excitement. Cheers to the Relay teams. They just did fabulously. It's just a complete thrill.
We can still do it, guys. We can still fix this.